from John chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. As we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Just to give you a little background on this story before we go through these nine verses. There was a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, we're going to read about, that went to Jesus by night to find out what he must do to secure eternal life. Nicodemus was a leader of the Pharisees. He was a ruler in Jerusalem. He was part of the Sanhedrin, which is a group made up of 70 men who ruled in Jerusalem politically and religiously. He was also a theological professor and was a very wealthy man, and during this time had a lot of power in the Pharisees, the religious leaders. There are three words that describe Nicodemus. He was rich, he was religious, and he was ruling. But none of these things fully satisfied this man's heart. Nicodemus saw the miracles that Jesus did, and in his heart, he started to wonder if Jesus was the Son of God, God in the flesh, the Messiah that they had been waiting for. So he goes to Jesus by night, as the scriptures say, to get some answers from the Lord. And what Nicodemus heard from Jesus astonished him. And yet these words from Jesus' mouth divides all of humanity into two groups. Please listen carefully. Those who are born again and those who are not born again. I'm going to go ahead and read this passage, then discuss it. Again, John chapter 3, 1 through 9. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born if he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and which is born of spirit of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said, "How can these things be?" Wow, amen. Last Sunday, we read at the end of our passage about unsaved believers, verses 23 through 25. I'll reread it. It said, "Now then, Jesus was in Jerusalem during the Passover. During the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he did, but Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men, and had no need that anyone should testify a man, for Jesus knew what was in man." Jesus knows the heart of every man and every woman. Jesus knew that their belief in him was not genuine. Jesus knew that they were uncommitted believers, and because of this, scriptures tell us that Jesus did not commit himself to them. It's tragic. They were excited about the miracles that Jesus did, but Jesus wasn't excited about them. Therefore, he did not commit himself to them. They were unconverted, uncommitted, unsaved believers. Jesus knew what was in their heart, and it wasn't him. In this morning's passage, this man Nicodemus, he was different. He had a heart for Jesus. Nicodemus was a different man. He saw what Jesus had did, what he did, and it touched his heart to the point that he seeks after Jesus by night, as we read, and this is the type of heart that Jesus responds to. Totally different than those who we read about at the end of our passage last week. Nicodemus had a hungry heart for the Lord. He wanted to know more about Jesus, and that is the exact heart that Jesus responds to. A hungry heart for him. Let's take a look at verses 1 and 2. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs, these signs that you do, unless God is with him. Moses was a teacher come from God. The prophets were teachers come from God. Jesus is God, come to teach. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He came undercover. He didn't want his other Pharisee friends to see him reach out to Jesus, because the Pharisees wanted nothing to do with Jesus during this time, except this one man by the name of Nicodemus. He was hungry to know the things of God, and that's all God needs to draw us towards him. Nicodemus had a spiritual curiosity and a hungry heart, and that's all it takes with Jesus. In Jeremiah 17:10, it says that the Lord seeks the heart and the mind of people. And Nicodemus's heart, his heart led him to Jesus, and Jesus knew this, and he responded to this man. He wouldn't respond. He was uncommitted to those unbelieving, unsaved believers. This man believes. He knows what's in this man's heart. And Jesus commits to him. He responds to this man. I want you to know that if you have this same hungry heart for the Lord and you come to Jesus Christ with all your heart, he will respond to you as well. Amen? He will respond to you as well. This is how one becomes saved, born again. It all starts with a hungry heart for the Lord. A curious heart to know the Lord more and more and more. These unsaved believers that we read about last Sunday, they didn't have a hungry heart for the Lord, as we read. And Jesus knew this, and it says he did not commit himself to them. Again, tragic to believe, but not to come to Christ. Tragic. This man, Nicodemus, came to Jesus with a hungry heart to know more about Jesus. And Jesus responds to this man. Nicodemus said to Jesus, he said, Rabbi. He puts him equally with him, because he was not a teacher during the time. He was the teacher of the time. This man, Nicodemus, which we're going to read about in next passage next Sunday in verse 10, it says that Nicodemus was the teacher. So he already calls Jesus Rabbi. He respects him right away. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs unless God is with him. And look at what Jesus responds with in verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, wait a minute. What do you mean, Jesus answered him? He never asked a question. Jesus answered and said to him, what do you mean he never asked the question? He didn't need to. Jesus already knew it was in the heart. He didn't have to ask Jesus a question. You see that in the scriptures? He knew. He knew why Nicodemus sought after him. He already knew what was in this man's heart before he ever asked him a question. Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, which means, listen up, you can count on this, unless one is born again, He cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow. He stops this man dead in his tracks. He never got to ask him a question because he knew it was in his heart. He knew this man was unsure about his eternal life. He knew it. So he tells this man exactly how one becomes saved, born again. Nicodemus gets a question out, Jesus answered his because he knows why Nicodemus is there. Nicodemus, I know why you came to me. This is how one finds life. You must be born again. You must be born again, says the Lord. Jesus gets right to the point with Nicodemus. He says, Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can you imagine what was going through this man's mind? Jesus knew exactly why Nicodemus came to him. He wasn't sure about his eternal security, his eternal life. And Jesus clearly answers him, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He says, Nicodemus, you must be born from above. Now, this is a guy who believed in his religious works, rituals, traditions. If I follow God's law, I'm all set. No. The law was never put in place to save us. It was to expose us from our sin so we would seek after a Savior for breaking God's law. Look at what Nicodemus says in verse 4. Nicodemus says to the Lord, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus didn't get the answer he was looking for. Clearly. He's like, how? Come again? I'm not understanding you, Jesus. How does one have eternal life? Notice Jesus didn't say to Nicodemus, hey, just be a good person. Just try a little harder, Nicodemus. You know, maybe tighten up some loose ends in your life, Nicodemus. You'll be all right. Maybe say a little prayer. No, that's not at all what Jesus said. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. It must come down from heaven onto you. Becoming born again is an act of God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. As the scripture tells us, it's all God's grace. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ, Ephesians 2:8, which eliminates all the false human achievement gospels being preached in the world. Eliminates every one of them right there. The Lord crushed every one of them right there. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born if he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He is totally lost. He is spiritually dead. Jesus repeats this to him again in verse 5. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered and said, Nicodemus, maybe you didn't hear me the first time. I didn't say that in the scripture. I'm just adding that. This is me thinking of them having a conversation. Hey, Nicodemus, just in case you didn't hear me in verse 3. Most assuredly I say to you again, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter in to the kingdom of God. These are Jesus' words, our Lord. Unless you are born again, Nicodemus, verse 3, you cannot see the kingdom of God, you cannot enter the kingdom of God, verse 5. Jesus clearly states how one truly gets into heaven. You must be born again. There's no gray area. It is clear as day. Jesus said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, what's the Lord talking about? Born of water and Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water speaks of God washing us from our sins and God putting his Spirit in us when we come to Christ. That's what he's talking about. This is what Jesus is talking about. Telling this man Nicodemus, unless one is born of water, washing away your sins, and me putting my Spirit in you, unless this happens, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God, says the Lord. If you brought your Bible with you this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. This is how one becomes born again. Nicodemus should have known this. He was a teacher of the Old Testament, and this is why Jesus is coming right at him. I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. This speaks of the new covenant. This is God promising salvation to Israel and all those who believe and come to Christ. Right here. Which Nicodemus should have known. He was a teacher of the Old Testament. Ezekiel talked about this. Jeremiah talked about this. And he was supposedly teaching this. But he's lost from what he hears from the Lord. I want to turn to Ezekiel 36, verse 25 through 27. And this is extremely for you. This is extremely important for you to know as a born-again Christian, so you can share this with your friends and family. This is how one becomes saved. This is one who comes to Christ, believes and comes to Christ right here. This is the prophet Ezekiel prophesying. Verse 25 through 27. Please listen carefully to this. God said, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take that heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27, I will, says God, put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Ho, ho, ho. Wow. Did you see that, right? God does the work. I will, I will, I will, I will. And then you will obey me. If that doesn't speak into your heart, I don't know what will. I will wash you from your sins and I will put my Spirit in you. God does the work. It's an act of God. God said, I will, I will, I will, I will. And then finally, you will obey me, says the Lord. God is saying, I am the one who does the work in you. When you come to me with a hungry heart, curious to know more about me, I'm the one who does the work in you. He who is in you is greater than he is in the world. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God says, I do this work in you, and you will glorify me, says the Lord. This is how one becomes born again. God does it. God changes our heart, as he said, I'm going to take that heart of stone out of you and give you a heart of flesh, and you will know me. It's God who changes us from the inside out. He changes our desires. You're not the same person you once were before you walked with Christ. He's made you new in Him. He did the work. I will, says the Lord. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, says the Lord. Seeing you have your Bibles open, I want you to jump to the New Testament and go to Ephesians chapter 2. And I shared this with you last year when we went through the book of Ephesians. I want you to know this passage very well. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to go to verse 4. We're going to read down to verse 7. Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 7. Listen to this. This is so important for you to understand as a Christian. I want you to know these passages so you can go out there and share these with your friends and family. Look at this. Verse 4. But God... Let's just stop right there. But God, He does the work. Who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive. Stop right there. Who made us alive? God. Made us alive. We went from spiritually dead to alive in Christ. Hallelujah. Let's continue. He made us alive. Together with Christ, by grace you have been saved and raised us up. We'll stop right there. Raised us up? Who raised us up? God did. God does the work. Let's continue. And raised us up together and made us sit together. Stop right there. Who made us sit together in Christ? God did. God does the work in us. He made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of grace, His grace, and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Amen. God does the work in the hungry heart for Him. Jesus says, you come to me with your hungry heart, your genuine belief, your true belief, and I will do the work in you. And you will obey me. God changes us from the inside out. Listen, salvation is transformation. It's God changing us, turning us into the faithful servant He made us to be. God does the work. He made us alive together with Christ. He raised us up. He made us sit together in the heavenly places of Christ Jesus. He did the work in you and me. Becoming born again is an act of God. I've told you guys this before. I'll tell you again. You can't born yourself a second time, just in case you didn't know. Just like you couldn't born yourself the first time. Right? Your mom did all the work. You didn't. You can't born yourself a second time either. It's got to come from above. Amen? It's got to come from above. And this is exactly what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. Nicodemus, I know you have fallen all your 12-step programs and your rituals and all these things you do, tying people to these burdens. No, he said, no. That's not how it's done, Nicodemus. God does the work. Not some 12-step program, how to get into heaven. No, God does it. He does the work. Let's continue on in verse 6. Let's hear Jesus continue. Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. What is it? Well, he's talking about the physical birth. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. He's talking about now the spiritual birth. the new birth, becoming born again. Right? Which is born of flesh is flesh. That's our physical body. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing, Jesus said. He said, Jesus went on and said, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. The spirit gives life to the believer. As Ephesians, Paul wrote, we just read, we become spiritually alive in Christ. Spiritually dead prior to Christ, spiritually alive in Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you were born in the flesh. I know you understand that. I can tell you understand that. But flesh is flesh, he says. But you need the spiritual birth, Nicodemus. This is the method in which you become born again, Nicodemus. I can only imagine the face expression on Nicodemus's face while he's hearing all these things. He always tied his good works and his good deeds and his false religion to his salvation. He's just like, wow, really? All this I did for 50 years, really? Didn't mean anything? Well, I mean, you were probably hopefully a good moral man, but didn't save you. Nicodemus, this is what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. I know you were trusted in your religion for many years. You were trusted in your religious works, your rituals, your traditions. I know you were trusted in yourself, Nicodemus. You got to start all over. You got to start all over. Ground zero. Jesus takes the feet right out of this man, right from underneath him, this religious man who was trusting in himself for his salvation, not trusting in Christ. That is the difference between a religionist and a born-again Christian. Listen, a religionist puts all his faith and trust in himself. A born-again Christian puts all his faith and trust in Christ. That's the difference between heaven and hell. That's the difference between a religionist and a born-again Christian. Jesus continued in verse 7. Look at verse 7. Nicodemus, do not marvel that I said this to you. You must be born again. Three times in seven verses. Nicodemus must have had the most puzzled look on his face for Jesus to say to him, hey, Nicodemus, don't marvel that I said this to you. Do not be confused, Nicodemus. Do not be baffled, Nicodemus. You must be born again. He hits this man right between the eyes. Jesus is saying, don't let this message blow your mind, Nicodemus. You should have known this, Nicodemus. You're the teacher in Jerusalem. You are a teacher of the Old Testament. Ezekiel, Jeremiah spoke about this, the new birth. Should have known. Don't marvel, Nicodemus. Don't be blown away, Nicodemus. This is an absolute requirement for your life. It's not willpower. It's not religion. It's not trying harder. You must be born again, says the Lord. Three times Jesus tells this man, you must be born again. Verse 3, verse 5, and verse 7. You must be born from above. You must be born again. The new birth comes down from heaven, Nicodemus. The Apostle John wrote in the first chapter, which we read already, in the first chapter, the Apostle John wrote, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Listen, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Right there. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, he says, born of God. He says, not the will of the flesh, not the will of man, Not of blood, he says, but of God. Born of God, born from above, born again, spiritually born, the new birth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Our spirit is joined with the Lord when we come to Christ. One spirit, which makes us alive together in Christ. Hallelujah. Dead to alive in Christ. The Spirit of God comes and dwells within us. Amazing. Amazing. And you know what? It all starts with a genuine belief and a genuine heart for Jesus Christ. That's where it all starts. This is what Jesus tells us in the Scripture. It all starts with your genuine belief and your genuine heart, which leads to the new birth from above. Powerful. God says, I do the work in you, and you will glorify me. Let's take a look at verses 8 and 9, which is very interesting, these two verses right here. I don't know if you read this passage this week, getting ready for today. Very interesting. Jesus said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes, which is true. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? He's baffled. To be continued next week. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? You know, it may have been a windy night that night when Nicodemus, this is just my thinking, may have been a windy night that night when Nicodemus searched out for the Lord to see where he stood with the Lord. And Jesus may have used the wind as an example of the Spirit. You cannot see the wind, but you can see the effects it has. You see the trees blowing around. You see the leaves blowing around. You see the evidence that the wind is here, right today. Perfect example. Look how windy it is. Can't see it, but you know it's there. You can feel it. You see the effects. Same with the Spirit. You cannot see it, but you see the effects it has on the believer. You see the evidence of this in their life. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't see it. You believe it. You see the evidence it has in your life and others, your brothers and sisters in Christ. You see the love they have for the Lord in their eyes. You see them bearing fruit in Jesus' name. You can't see it, but you see the evidence of the Holy Spirit blowing upon you. Nicodemus, the Holy Spirit is blowing upon you, and he has brought you to me. Praise to the Lord. Nicodemus, the Holy Spirit blew on you on this windy night and brought you to me. And Jesus responded because he knew in his heart it was true. Not like those other fakes we read about in verse 23 and 25 that believed, but they were uncommitted. Not this man. This man's hungry. This man is hungry for the Lord. And he's not leaving Jesus' side, because we're going to read about it some more next week. He's not leaving him until he knows where he stands with him. It's powerful. You know, when we get to chapter 19, might be in December by then, I don't know. But when we get to chapter 19, we will find this man, Nicodemus, standing at Jesus' burial site, spending a fortune on spices to anoint his body after he was crucified. The This man believed. He came to Christ. And John chapter 19, verse 39 and 40, it says, "And Nicodemus," it says, "who first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it with strips of linen and with these spices." You don't think this man believed in him? He sure did. This man, this Pharisee, came to Jesus by night with a hungry heart, and he became a child of God. He came to Christ with a hungry heart, just like you, just like me. Same nature. He came to Jesus. He became a child of his. He is the only Pharisee out of 6,000, approximately 6,000 Pharisees during this time. He is the only Pharisee listed in the Gospels that believed and came to Christ. Out of 6,000 men. He is the only man listed in the Gospels, and he's home with the Lord right now. He's home with the Lord right now. And it all went back to that windy night that he came to Christ. He brought all his heart, all his curiosity, and said, "I want to know you. I want to know where I stand with you." He became a child of God. It all started with a curious heart, a hunger for the Lord. And let me tell you something, that's all Jesus needs, is your hungry heart for him. Nicodemus had a spiritual curiosity that night. He had a hungry night, and that's all it takes with Jesus. God will always respond to a hungry heart. Amen? He will always respond to your genuine belief. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking directly to us into our hearts this morning. Your word, we thank you. We thank you for opening our hearts and our minds to your word, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you continue to do this work in us, Lord. You'd continue to lift us up and carry us and give us all the strength and the energy we need to share our faith with others as well, Lord, so that they can be saved and become born again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.